You're listening to the Broadcast Basement On Demand Radio Network.
It's the podcast in the Broadcast Basement.
Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day it's different. They change, but they don't know what they want. All they do is change. Going left, going right, travel day, travel night. That's where we'll go. No excuses, no goodbyes, no one cries, no one lies. We'll never know.
I don't know, what do you want to talk about today? Is there anything going on this week with the Pirates?
Oh, the Pirates, I think they made the news today for something. I'm not really sure.
I haven't heard very much about them. They traded Starling Marte.
Oh yeah, what we've been calling for the past, I don't know, 2-3 months now, finally happened.
You better watch it, because so many people are going to be mad at you, because there are people that did not like the trade and did not like the fact that he was traded. But like we said, not that I'm saying a rebuild was the best course. The rebuild was happening. Accept it. And if they're going to do it the right way. I'll tell you what this tells me, and then we can take a deep dive, and I want to hear what you have to say, Craig. But the fact they went after two guys, young, 19-year-olds, basically. Aren't they both 19 or something like
both,
that?
Both 19 years old.
Yeah, that is a long-term thing. That your window for when they're expecting to have them is at least 3 years away. You made this move because you are at the beginning of a rebuild. They are the beginning of a foundation. And you can go after a 19-year-old if you think that you at least have enough college players and older players that can contribute in your minor leagues. That means Ben Cherington looked at his minor league system and said, there is enough here where we have a few guys we can bring up that might be a part of this. As we go through the rebuild, that we see these other pieces, we can take a chance and trade a Marte for a couple of guys. He must have wanted to make a move right now. And he wanted to get things going, but this is the signal. If there was a bat signal with a big R for rebuild, it went up over Pittsburgh on Monday evening.
Yeah, it definitely did. And as a person who understands the trade, and I've talked about this before the show with you, that it's not like I was jumping for joy. I mean, I was actually anxiously pacing outside of my work to see who we were going to be getting back, and texting with people and tweeting and saying, you know, these are the guys I want. And then we heard we didn't get Dustin Varsho, who was their top-rated catcher. And we've been talking about how they were supposedly going after a catcher. But if you are going to go into one of these situations, you are going to try to get what you feel are the two best players for your organization. And they got two guys that, I mean, I know on the pipeline list, I think, you know, they had Brennan Malone, the right-handed pitcher, the high school pitcher we got. They had him ranked around 9th. This is the MLB pipeline one. And then
on the Diamondbacks, not overall, on the Diamondbacks, right?
Yeah, on the Diamondbacks. Neither of these guys are 100.
And they haven't updated that. They just updated the top 100 list. They don't update the by team list with the top 30 guys on MLB pipeline until February. So we're still a little bit of ways from that. I know Baseball America had one of them in the top 10. The other guy was in the low teens. So I read that as well. So look, I mean, and we're talking again in the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. So you got to take that what it's worth, because a guy who moves over from one organization and he's in the top 10 in that organization could either be the number one guy or the number 20 guy in your organization, depending on how good your organization is. So it's all relative.
Yeah, and then the other guy, Leover Perego, he basically was the one that they were saying was 18 at the time, and he's the one that's actually supposedly going to be the higher rated prospect moving forward. Baseball America, I think, had him higher. The Arizona Diamondbacks, like their writers, had him ranked 5th, and had Brennan Malone ranked 10th, I believe. And I think Baseball America was right around that way as well. So you're basically getting what we thought they were going to be getting. We said that for Starling Marte, my like ceiling for it, and this is like no joke, you can go back and listen to the previous episodes, was one guy in the top 10, one guy in the top 20, which if the guy's, you know, 11 or wherever he was falling before, then it's a guy within the top 20 of the rankings that I was looking at the time. And then if you're lucky, you might get another throw-in. And what they did get in this trade is more of that international pool space. And that is not actual real money. It's more money that can be spent in those international signings. And it was either last episode or the episode or before we talked about when they are making these types of trades, look if they are getting back that international bonus money. And they got back what they usually get back in increments. They got $250,000 in space, additional money that they can spend. And people are saying, this is the one thing that is like frustrating me so bad, I just have to get off my chest. Chris, did Bob Nutting make this trade? Is Bob Nutting our GM?
No, and you know, and here's the thing, and I know what you're going to say here, because it started trending on Twitter right away, how low the Pittsburgh Pirate payroll was. There should be a threshold where you can't go below it, which I actually understand. I believe in that, okay? And that it's Nutting being cheap. This is not Nutting being cheap. You traded this player because you're starting a rebuild. You have a new general manager who cleaned house almost from top to bottom. This is an organization that's hitting the restart button. And I'll tell you this, and I'm not going to put words in their mouth, because you know what? Bob Nutting has not proven to me that he's going to spend a lot of money. But in rebuilds, like with the Astros, with the White Sox, with the Cubs, owners said, here's the deal. This is what we make in a given year. If you can come in less, we'll go put that off to the side and you can spend it later on when you're ready to make your move. So if Charrington keeps the payroll down at $50 million, but he had a threshold of 80 and he's able to move that 30 into the future, then it's a good, then I'm okay with him lowering the payroll. You see? If Nutting's not going to do that and he's going to pocket the $30 million, then that's a bad thing. These are the things that need to be asked when the media gets a chance to talk to these people that are involved, because that has been clearly stated by other organizations when they were doing things like that. Like, don't worry, the money will be spent. We're cheap now because we're on the rebuild. We're going to lose 100 games. We're going to have some great draft picks for a couple of years. We're going to build this thing back up again, and then the money will be spent. And that's the thing now that the press needs to nail these guys down on. Like, all right, if you're doing this, does that mean that later on you're going to be a team that's got $150 million payroll when you're ready to go and do it?
Yeah, and that's where I'm going towards with that. And you said exactly pretty much what I was going to say. And then another part of the argument that I made is, if it was such a salary dump, then why did we give the Diamondbacks $1.5 million on top of giving them Marte? Like, that is like, that stays on the books for this year. So if it was a total salary dump, I mean, I can see that we took on two minor league players that you don't have to pay much for. We got international pool space. But if it's a true salary dump, Then why are you giving them money to make this trade happen?
I want to give an example for Pirates fans that are worried about the trade. I want to talk about a trade that happened a few years back where a team made a deal to acquire a pitcher by the name of James Shields. Remember Big Game James? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He was pitched in the World Series for the Royals. He's older. He's not worth what he used to be. He's a piece that team needed because they thought, if we go and we get him, he'll be able to help us because we're trying to make our run now. And they traded away a single A prospect shortstop that compares a lot to the guy that we just acquired here for the Pirates. And they traded that shortstop away. He was traded away and people sat there and said, that guy's never going to be anything. He wasn't even in the top 30, the guy they traded away. 19 years old, all the tools, all these other things. He was in the James Shields trade. That player was Fernando Tatis to the San Diego Padres at 19 years old. You don't know how this is going to shake out. Because guess what? James Shields didn't do anything. Fernando Tatis is amazing. And when the Padres finally now are coming around to the end of their rebuild, when the San Diego Padres are getting to the end of their rebuild, here they are with Fernando Tatis.
You know another guy that they had that was 19 years old at one point? Luis Patino. He's one of the top 20 prospects now that's getting ready to come to the majors at some point this year for the Padres. 3 years after they went and got him, Mackenzie Gore, probably going to be one of these guys you're going to be hearing about for the next 10 years in the majors. That team is stacked. They went and they stacked their system with 19-year-old guys. Eventually, those 19 and 20-year-old guys all come up and start killing it. You want to be that, right? I mean, do you want to keep doing what we're doing now, or do you want to be them? I want to be them. I want to be the Padres right now. You see what they're doing? Now, you know what the comparable I heard for this shortstop? Carlos Correa. Yes. Give it to me. And get a trash can out there just in case.
One of the other trades that I was looking at earlier was when the Padres traded old Fernando Rodney to the Marlins for a prospect.
Oh, I love this. We're playing this game. I love this game. We should play this game for the rest of the show.
And here's the thing is, guess who that pitcher is? I don't know. Maybe a guy with a 2.6 WAR named Chris Paddock.
There you go.
I mean, here's the thing is, and we took Starling Marte and turned him into possibly both of those guys. I mean, it's not a guarantee.
No prospect is a guarantee. And I've always said that in reality, if you get 30% of your prospects to hit, you have done amazing. But here's the thing. You cannot sit around and say, the manager sucks, the general manager sucks, the organization's direction sucks, we're never going to win anything, we're barely ever in the playoffs, something needs to change, and then something changes and then be upset about it. This is a process that's going to take a while. And we're in it. We're at the beginning of a long process.
A 69-win team, and you...
They're going to lose 100 games this year.
In fact, guaranteed.
You want to... Here's the thing I'm going to say. You want them to lose 100 games this year. You want to sit at the top of the draft for a couple years and draft the Alex Bregmans and Carlos Correas. Then draft, you know, and draft those kind of guys. That's what you want. You want to have those guys, and you want to be able to get them right up at the top of a draft. The Adley Rutschmans, that catcher that got drafted number one last year.
Oh, by the Orioles, yeah.
By the Orioles. You want him. That's your catcher. See, that's the thing. Everybody's like, well, we need a catcher. What you don't understand is your catcher may not even be out of high school yet or college. Your catcher might be getting drafted in 2020. You might get your catcher in June, and he's going to spend 2 years down the minors. Then he's going to come up and be great. You're not building for 2020. You're not building for 2021. You're probably building for 2023, 2024. Yeah. That's what you are. It's your window.
I know.
Your
that's
window
what
reopens again there, and it sucks, and you're going to be like, man, we got to sit through some bad stuff. So now the questions have to be to management. What is the plan? What is the time frame? Other managements have had to do that. The Astros had to tell their fan base this is how long it's going to take. The White Sox had to tell their fan base how long it's going to take. The Padres had to tell their fan base how long this is going to take. The Cubs had to do it. The Brewers had to do it. They had to give timelines to their fan bases. They had to explain to them the financials. You and I don't get to sit around and talk to Bob Nutting and Ben Cherington. But the guys that do, it's on them now. They got to start asking those questions. Because for the moment Marte was traded, those are the things that need to be answered so the fans know what's going on.
Yeah. And Cherington, I mean, honestly, he wanted to make the trade, but wasn't sure it was going to happen because he was pushing with the Mets, supposedly. But, I mean, after this trade went through, I saw a report that the Pirates were pushing for, I think it was like two of the top 5 or 10 prospects from the Mets, and the Mets thought it was too steep. So he went to the Diamondbacks, and he may have gone to the Padres and said, who are, you know, what are you going to give me? And he looked at these guys and said, you know what? These guys, I see them inside your top 10, so this is who we're going for. And right after this, I was kind of asked, so what do you think about this trade? And my first reaction was, well, the window just got pushed back a year or two. That was the first thing I thought was, okay, it's not 2021 or 2022. Like you said, it's 2023 and maybe 2024, depending on, you know, how these guys develop, how the people develop that we draft next year, the people that we've drafted last year, the ones that are done in single A, double A, how those guys come up through our system. And the other thing I said was, if these guys can be turned at some point for another player or another prospect or along with another player for another prospect that's better at some point in time, you may not want to get used to these guys either. I'm not saying they're going to be turn out to be great. I'm not saying they're going to be traded. But you have to look out for that kind of stuff where it's like, you know what? In a year or so now, and we're like, oh, there's this other guy that we've noticed that's a lot better, and he isn't progressing the way we think he should be progressing. But I think we can fool this team into thinking that he's further along than he is. Hey, let's package him with somebody else and try to get something else in return for something we've seen that is better. So that's the other part of this, is that just because the guy is in our system now, it doesn't mean that he's going to be here in 2024. It means he could be here in 2024. It also means that he could be on his third team in the minors at that point. I mean, that's what these teams do, is if it's not developing the way you think it's going to develop, you trade him, and he may make it up in the other system. He may be successful. He may not be. I mean, that's the steps that we're taking right now.
If you look at all rebuilds, and this is something that we have to talk about, if you look at the rebuilds that have happened in the modern era, the general timeline is 3 years of suck. 3 years of absolute suck. 3 years of you're grabbing guys in Rule 5 drafts because you're going to draft three guys from the Rule 5 draft and let them play in the majors because you might find one good guy out of there and you don't care if you have to return the other two. 3 years of grabbing international signing bonus money so you can get the next big Cuban that comes walking through the door, or the next big star from Japan. 3 years of quick, easy, early round draft picks where it's almost a no-brainer, where you're arguing over, I don't know, do I want this guy here that's going to play short or this guy here that's going to play center field? Both of them are both projected to be starters that could be all-stars within a couple of years. That's what the next 3 years is. Also 3 years of 90 to 100 loss seasons. That's what you're going to have. 3 years of high-end draft picks. When those 3 years are over, the fourth year, which would be 2023, is the year when all of a sudden you start to put it together. When these guys now are all being brought up, you've manipulated service time, you've gotten them in the contracts, you've gone, you made a couple of free agent things, and now they challenge for the postseason. And in the next year, which is 2024, that is going to be the year when your team can find, you could circle that right there, 2024. 2024 is when the Pirates will challenge to try to win a championship. If it's done right, they should be challenging for a championship, not playoffs. That's 2023. 2024, circle it. They should be challenging for a championship if all goes well. If that goes well, these kids are that you just went and picked up are 24, 25 years old, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, they're playing in the majors, right?
I mean, they're going to be at spring training. They're going to be called up and
they're going to be up the year before, right, maybe. Yeah, they're probably September call-ups in the year before. They probably play in 2023 for you. And if they don't, they're ready in 2024. That's what this is. You know what Starling Marte is when that happens? Retired. That's what he is. He's retired. That's why you make this move.
Yeah.
You make this move because when that, and that's the thing. At this point, Chris Archer put a for sale sign on him.
Oh, absolutely.
Like when this happened, you literally just saw like out of the ether, like a for sale sign just showed up on him. Like Thanos snapped it into existence right on top of him. Okay.
Oh yeah. It basically became Chris Archer, Keone Kella, maybe Frazier,
yeah.
Maybe Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even, you just basically saw, I mean, definitely Archer, definitely Kella, but there's also even some other guys like Moran. I mean, right. You may be shopping.
You know who's staying on this team right now that has a chance to be around when this window is open? Reynolds. Reynolds is a key piece. They'll probably hold on to him. Okay, because by the time that they're ready to play, he's a veteran in his prime. See, that's what the plan is. Who could be a veteran in their prime that will teach these kids the way that I want things done, who will be their leader while they're all 22, 23 years old, 24 years old, and they're the young core that comes up when they're there. And that's what's going to happen here. Chris Archer's not on this team when this happens. There's going to be a lot of guys that you love. I wouldn't buy any jerseys if I were a Pirates fan right now. Don't buy.
Oh, and they just bought a ton of them this weekend at Pirates Fest. They put out new jerseys.
I wouldn't buy a jersey unless it had Reynolds' name on the back of it.
Or if it was a blank one.
Yeah, or just a blank one.
I just want the cool looking front. I don't need anything on the back. What number do you want on the back? No number.
There's a low amount of guys that I would put on the back of my jersey at this point with confidence, feeling as though that I'm going to get some use out of that jersey over the next couple of years. Reynolds is the one guy. I put his name on there right now. I'd be like, all right, I'm putting his name on there. You kind of hope Mitch Keller's that is going to be like a guy that you're going to get for a long time. But that's it. At this point, I can't even believe that Bell. Like, you want him to be here. You know what? I'll tell you a funny story, okay? And friends of mine will back this up. On the south side of Chicago, they thought that Jose Abreu, when they started this thing, there's no way he would be there when they got around and he'd be too old. And they signed him to an extension. So Bell might still be around. I'm not saying these guys are out. But
no.
But you're going to go through some rough times now. You're going to be grabbing guys off of teams like they're going to waive a player in spring training. Your team's going to pick him up and start him. Because you're going to be like, we think we see something in him. While we're waiting for the quality prospects to show up. That's what's going on now.
No, and the funny thing of this is that when the other thing we were talking about right before the show was when we were talking about Brennan Malone, I basically said we got three first round draft picks last year. You got Quinn Priester, you got Brennan Malone, and then you got Sammy Siani. And you got Quinn Priester, who was the top-ranked right-handed academy arm, and then you got the number two right-handed academy arm, who was ranked number 20. We drafted Priester at 18. He got drafted at 33 by the Diamondbacks, and they were both sitting there ranked by MLB Pipeline as the 19th and 20th pick. So you basically got you started the rebuild last year. That's good. We got guys from like last year's draft that are very useful. So to me, I saw Quinn Priester, Brennan Malone, maybe Thomas. I think he's going to be in double A this year. I wrote a little article on him. And then, like you said, if Mitch Keller's still around, if those guys work out and that's four of the five guys in your rotation, or even if three of those guys make it or are still around, that's a pretty solid start to a rotation.
And what you have to remember what you do is that you come up with all these guys, and you may have 10 prospect pitchers that you're kind of excited about, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then as it goes along, you have five of them that you're excited about. And then when they get to the majors, like two or three of them end up being good. But at that point, you're spending money on a couple starters to fill the gaps. And you go and you make a move for one or two guys. You're the Astros going and getting Justin Verlander. Or on a smaller scale, you're the Sox going and grabbing Dallas Keuchel this offseason. Like, that's what you are. That's what you go and you do. You see a lot of teams doing these things. That's what the whole purpose of this is. You're now making the base, unfortunately, for the rest of it. And, you know, it's funny how they waited until after Pirates Fest. And we never got a chance to talk about it. I know you went. So I want to make sure we get to this. Because we're not going to talk about it next week. So you went to Pirates Fest. Let's talk. Can we talk about that? Or is there anything else we can... To me, this is cut and dry. You had to make a trade. You don't know if the prospects are going to work out. There's absolutely no reason to get yourself worked up about it. You could see what they're doing. They're going after young talent that has big upside in the hopes of getting something because they're at the very beginning of this entire thing, and it was the best offer they could get, and they didn't want to enter the season with Marte on the roster. And that was a decision that was made. So you go to Pirates Fest. What happened?
Well, basically at Pirates Fest, I was, you know, carrying the three-year-old around because he can't walk for, you know, more than two steps at a time for some reason. When there's a lot of people around, he gets like a little nervous. So I'm carrying him around, throwing money at the 12 and 8-year-old. They're getting autographs signed. Brian Reynolds, Mitch Keller, Chad Kuhl, Cody Ponce. I got to run into Jacob Stallings for a couple seconds as he was going to something else and just kind of basically said, Hey, Jacob, I work for, I co-host Bucks in the Basement. I write for what is now Sports Illustrated Inside the Pirates, no longer Pirates Maven, but Inside the Pirates. And I said, you know, how's it looking for this year? And he's like, I'm working hard. And I said, that sounds good. I said, I can't wait to see you behind the dish. He was like, thanks, brother. So I had some conversations like that. Got to shake Matt Capp's hand, Kevin Young's hand, congratulate them on getting the... being in the broadcast booth this year with the Fort taking over for Steve Blass. But the whole time I was walking around, any second that I could get, I was refreshing my Twitter because of the Starling Marte and basically having conversations, like quick conversations with people and saying, they're waiting till after Pirates Fest.
They were clearly waiting until after Pirates Fest. They lined up. What this tells me is they sat down and they lined up deals and they said, we got to find the best thing, but we're moving him, but we're not doing it before the festival.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, they could have waited longer. Like, if you have a complaint about the deal, the complaint should be, hey, if it wasn't enough, are we sure we got the most we could have gotten for him? But other than that, I have no problem with the deal.
You know what? I did get a chance to hang out with Gary Morgan and Jared Martin. My
so what did you glean off of the guys that you were talking to? How are those guys doing?
I think Mitch Keller's ready. I think that, man, Chad Kuhl, I'm excited about. I'm really excited about. We saw the Instagram stuff and stuff from his honeymoon and how he's coming back from his surgery and everything. But he definitely, I mean, the guy looks ready. He looks ready. He looks hungry. And one of the guys that wasn't there that I was actually hoping was going to be there, Will Craig. I mean, I was hoping he was going to show up at some point. He may have been there for the season ticket holders, but I don't got that much money to go, you know, to spend on that.
Bucks in the Basement needs more listeners for you to be able to get that. We need season ticket money is what we need.
We need season ticket money. But Will Craig, I was hoping to see because I guess the man's dropped like 20 pounds and is trying to be become a little bit more versatile and definitely take on that outfield role, which could be huge.
And now that tells you a lot too. Now how old is he? What is he?
25.
So he's 25. So like I said, now with the window, here's a guy. If he wants to make it onto the team, he needs to make it now. And you don't know what they're going to do with Bell over the next couple of years. So his only way to make it onto the team is to go in as an outfielder. So the Pirates might. I mean, Charrington. The team, the organization, however things are filtering, might have sat there and said, you know, you're not really on the top of many people's list when they're looking for, like, players from us while we're trying to make acquire guys. So if you want to make the bigs, you got to be something else. So that's good for him. He's going and doing that. But that's the kind of guy that's going to be standing in the outfield in a year or two. He's like that.
Absolutely.
And you're going to give him a chance. And if he pans out, great. If he doesn't pan out, all right. You know, like every prospect in the minor league system, if you're a prospect in the Pirates minor league system, the moment Starling Marte was traded, you should have hit the gym. You should be working your ass off because you have an opportunity to make the majors that most other minor league players do not have because you have a team that wants to see all of you right now while it is building. This is the time where you come out of nowhere and you prove yourself. If you are a forgotten prospect, you're back, baby. Get in there. Like, they should send me to every one of their minor league camps so I can give them this talk. Like, if you, and to tell them, like, look, if you're in the Yankee system and you're not one of their top three prospects, you think they're even paying attention to you? If you're in a Dodgers system and you're not one of their top three or four prospects, you think they care? But if you're not even in their top 30 prospects right now, and you put the work in, you may make it to the major leagues. Because they don't want to mess with service time from this guy, and you might slip in there all of a sudden and get a chance to prove it to somebody. So you should be, like, just gung-ho about this entire thing, because this team is up for grabs. You're playing for the Bad News Bears. Get a spot on it.
And it's pretty exciting.
It's exciting for minor league nuts. It's exciting for people that play fantasy baseball like me and you. It's exciting for people that are like, I love the building of things and the building of an organization. We're going to get to watch this organization build from the ground back up again. It is not exciting for people that are going to equate the last regime with this regime and blame Charrington for the next 3 years because of what happened over the last 20 years. If you can separate it and make it something new and say, yeah, we still got the same cheap owner, but we have a new direction. It won't be fun like winning baseball, but that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and that's when it starts today. It started previously, we signed, you know, Guillermo Heredia and we signed Luke Maley, and that may have been the signaling of them wanting to do the rebuild, but this was the, like you said, this was the absolute icing on the cake. Like, it's happening. And right now, like I said, even if people, and I was talking to a few people before this and said, even the people that were a little bit excited about this, like, because I definitely was like, I had the anxious feeling inside my stomach. Like I said, I was pacing. But then after it actually happened, I kind of got excited because we were actually moving in a direction. But then the anxiety has gone and come and come and gone like throughout this day, because it's like, okay, what's going to be the next move? But I'm not pushing that next move. The next move for me has to happen sometime within this year. And it's got to be Kella and it's got to be Archer, and you got to get more young talent, and you've got to start building your farm system.
They're mid-season moves, though, okay? Archer is, you hope you can get him going and he has a good first couple of months and he becomes something that somebody takes off your hands and you get a big prospect for him. Like, if you can, like, remember we talk about that. If Archer pitches like he did in that small sample size where it seemed like he made some adjustments, then you go and you get somebody's prospect that's sitting in the top 50 of the MLB pipeline. Because they are so close. And they need that starter because there's an injury. That's what he is. I don't think you're getting that for a relief pitcher. You're getting more players like what we just saw come here.
It's all going to come down to what you said in the beginning. If Nutting is going to give the money once we've quote-unquote saved the money now. If it comes down to that, then you know what? I'll be right beside everybody with the pitchforks and we'll be rioting and we'll take over PNC Park. I mean, we'll take it back. But until that point, I'm going to sit here and patiently wait and see which guys go. And once again, I'm going to start looking at the prospects and start counting the prospects and watch as the team is built from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Now I see the changes in this town.